This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
After 8 long years of partisan politics and endless discussions of a red state, blue state divide in this country, many Americans are anxiously awaiting an end to a presidency defined by fringe politics, one that persistently and systematically moved away from the will of the center. According to historian Gil Troy, in the distinctly great American presidencies, such as those of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, a president's ability to move away from partisan extremes and move boldly to the center has been the single unifying quality guaranteeing his success. I'm honored to welcome to the program historian Gil Troy to talk about his new book, Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. Gil, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So where did the book come from? When did you realize you had a book about this?
The book came from two places. One was just simply lecturing about American history over the last 20 years and telling these stories of these great American presidents and realizing that, frankly, my generation of historians has not done a very good job explaining why America works, how America succeeds, where America's greatness lies. We've done a great job of explaining America's failures and sins, which we need to learn, but we also need to learn where America has been effective. That was half of it. The other half was during the Bush years, especially in the wake of 2004, and seeing just the anger in the country, the hysteria in the country, the sense of divisiveness in the country. I'd sometimes visit pockets of red America, so to speak, and find people, you know, praising George Bush to the heights, and then I'd go to the Upper West Side or to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and find people talking about George W. Bush as if he was the evil incarnate. And that struck me as very un-American, the extreme. And I started researching and writing and came out with this book, Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents, to argue that, in fact, we as Americans need leaders and look to leaders to unite us, and that if we have learned from Al Gore to be careful about our carbon footprint, the kind of pollution we lead, our leaders have to be careful about leaving a toxic footprint. If at the end of 4 or 8 years in office, a Bill Clinton, a George W. Bush leaves us angrier, more divided, with less faith in each other and in our country, then that's a major failure and a major problem for a democracy.
We're talking with author Gil Troy. He's currently professor of history at McGill University and a visiting scholar at the Bipartisan Policy Center. His new book is Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. So, Gil, let's talk about some of these examples that you explore in detail in your terrific book, and we're going to be giving away a copy of this book at the end of the interview. Start with the obvious, George Washington maneuvering his way between Alexander Hamilton on one side and our own Thomas Jefferson on the other.
Absolutely, and one of the things I'm trying to do in the book also is tell the stories and return to our tradition of narrative history. And the book starts with the great president George Washington. In many ways, it actually starts with the what I call the most famous dinner party in American history, which Thomas Jefferson hosted between James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. And in that dinner party, Thomas Jefferson was playing the role of mediator because he had just come from France. He actually didn't know Alexander Hamilton well enough to loathe him. And Madison
<yet. laughs>
and Hamilton, who had worked together in passing the Constitution and writing the Federalist Papers, were now at loggerheads. It was regional tensions between Virginia and New York, tensions over slavery, tensions over where the capital should be located, tensions over how the debts from the Revolutionary War should be paid or if they should be paid at all. And Thomas Jefferson brokered the deal that ultimately led Washington, D.C. to be located where it is today. And so we see that the city itself of Washington is a city that represents compromise, when unfortunately today it seems to represent division. Now, in that story, George Washington doesn't appear. But I argue that his presence was essential because Washington, from the start of his administration, saw partisanship emerging, didn't understand, as we actually now understand, that parties can have an important role. And he was actually rather eloquent in constantly pushing for what he called the common cause, the middle path, understanding that Americans needed to work together. And as a man of enlightenment, realizing that my reason might lead to one conclusion, your reason might lead to another conclusion, we can disagree. We need to learn how to disagree without being disagreeable.
We're talking with Gil Troy. The new book is Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. Tell us about John F. Kennedy, a political moderate. He's often looked at now by conservatives here in America as a raging left-wing liberal, but he really wasn't.
Not at all, especially at the start. One of the things we need to ask when we talk about moderation and centrism in history is, okay, if you have moderation, does centrism simply become a way of keeping the status quo as it is? How do we change? And we look at some of America's great failures, slavery during the 19th century, the civil rights problem in the 20th century, and we say, how does a president respond? And Kennedy's an interesting example of that, because when he first becomes president, it's just not that important to him. He didn't have that strong a black constituency in Massachusetts in the 1950s, and he would, you know, say the right things about civil rights, but many people saw that he wasn't passionate about it. By June 1963, 2 years into his term, he becomes passionate, and now he has the challenge as a great leader to step up to the plate. He gives a very important speech talking on television, talking about the importance, the moral importance of passing civil rights legislation, and he sets himself up to play the role of not the radical, not the extremist, but taking the energy that's generated by the radicals, by the critics, and domesticating it for public consumption, taming it, if you will. And he's all set up to do that role, but unfortunately, June 1963 is this great turning point of his, and by November 1963, he's assassinated.
Gil Troy is the author of Leading from the Center. What about Ronald Reagan? Now, you've written another book about Ronald Reagan, Morning in America. What did Ronald Reagan do that you can look to that say that he shares with all of these other great presidents, this ability to find the center and to lead from the center?
We have a tendency sometimes in America to think that a moderate is a mushball, a wimp, someone lacking in core values. I think when we look at Ronald Reagan, we see, and you can agree or disagree with his policies, I'm talking about his leadership tactics, we can see someone who was a muscular moderate, who understood that when he was elected, he wasn't elected to be the president of the Republican Party, of the conservatives. He was elected to be president of the United States. And as president of the United States, it was his task to reach out to as many people as possible. It was his task to lead a patriotic and economic resurgence. And it came at the cost of the conservative agenda. And from the start, we go to the Reagan Library and we can read many letters and many memos from conservatives yelling that Reagan is not being true to his nature and not making them happy. And they yell, "Let Reagan be Reagan." And I argue that when Reagan was compromising, when Reagan was finding that center, when Reagan was being a muscular moderate, he truly was being Reagan. That was Reagan in action, and that was the secret to his success.
And what exactly is a muscular moderate? Is it this ability to be able to compromise?
It's an ability to be compromise while also having core values, and that's a tension. And I'm not a political scientist. I don't have a formula. I'm a historian. But what I say is that when you look at the greats, at Lincoln and Washington, the Roosevelts, Reagan, Kennedy, the ones who were effective, they were able to have a certain sense of their core values, of their defining principles, of their fundamental beliefs. But at the same time, they knew that as leaders of a very complicated country, as people who Dwight Eisenhower warned John Kennedy, only the messy issues end up on the presidential desk. They had to be nimble. They had to adapt. And that tension between adaptability and principle is not defined by a formula, but is really where great leadership emerges.
We're talking with Gil Troy, historian at McGill University. His new book is Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. You also look at the presidencies of Nixon and Carter as examples that being a centrist doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah, I didn't want to write a book that was just so simplistic and said, you know, this is the way to be a leader, be a moderate, and all will be well. We have to deal with the realities of history, not the kind of Hollywood red, white, and blue version of history. So I have a chapter where I look at Richard Nixon and Jimmy Carter, who in many ways were moderates in terms of their policies, that what each of them did in different ways was take ideas from both the left and the right. Richard Nixon, despite being a conservative, was the one who passed the Environmental Protection Agency legislation. He advanced the affirmative action and busing under his watch. Jimmy Carter frustrated many Democrats by starting the deregulation process that Ronald Reagan would continue. So both of them had moderate and centrist approaches, but they failed. Why? Because leadership isn't just about the policies. It's also about the tone you set. It's also about being able to be inspiring. Richard Nixon was defeated by his paranoia, by his anger, by his breaking the law, especially over Watergate, but unfortunately there were other crimes as well. Jimmy Carter was defeated by his pessimism, by his inability to excite people around a vision, and by his limited vision of what America could be, and it kind of set up the Reagan Revolution with his negativity. Reagan was unable to come in with his more positive, affirmative vision.
We're talking with Gil Troy. The book is Leading from the Center, and we'll be giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. Let's talk about a little bit more closer to home here, a little bit more recent. Let's talk about President Clinton and how he fared in this look in your book.
In the chapter on Bill Clinton, I say that Bill Clinton should be the book's hero, because he was constantly talking about the third way, constantly talking about triangulating, constantly
the
talking
new
about
Democrats, yeah,
the new Democrat from the Democratic Leadership Coalition. But what we see with Bill Clinton, and again, this goes to the idea of searching for a muscular moderate. I call him a spineless centrist. I say that too frequently, Bill Clinton didn't have those core values, didn't have those defining principles. When we look at the Monica Lewinsky episode, we see him using all his political skills and how impressive he was when the issue was his personal survival, and he fights as hard as he can to hold on to office, to hold on to power. Had he used that same skill set to advance health care and get a true reform in this country, had he used that same skill set to change the dynamics over race relations, which is what he promised his second term would be about, then he would have gone down as an historic figure. People would have potentially agreed or disagreed, but he would have not been the woulda, coulda, shoulda kid who didn't fulfill his potential. He would have been a muscular moderate who had core principles and pushed them while also being able to be adaptable and nimble.
We're talking with Gil Troy. The new book is Leading from the Center. What about President George W. Bush? He seems to be the example of what not to do. And I'm not talking about his policies. Again, we're talking about his leadership. He sort of ran from the center, ran from any kind of moderation.
Very clearly, in 2004, the Karl Rove George W. Bush strategy was not to play to the swing, as they call it, the swing voters, but to mobilize those 3 to 4 million evangelicals whom they felt hadn't voted for Bush in 2000 and whom they thought would swing the election to them in 2004. They were right. And what Bush's presidency teaches us is that sometimes you can be right, you can become president, but it's not necessarily good for the country. And I call the chapter on Bush Imprisoned by Conviction. And he was so rigid, he was so much playing to the base, that he forgot this lesson that I talked about earlier, which is that a president can't leave such a toxic footprint, regardless of how Iraq shakes down in the future. And, you know, we have to be careful. We know that Harry Truman left office also extremely unpopular, and in retrospect was seen as a great president. But regardless of what happens in the outcome of Iraq, the fact that he didn't lead from the center, the fact that he didn't leave Americans feeling better about themselves, but in fact left this strong sense of alienation and anger in the country, is a leadership failure. And for that, he'll be historically accountable.
Gil Troy is the author of Leading from the Center, Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. So let's look at, we're in a presidential year here in America. Let's look at the two candidates now, Senators Barack Obama and John McCain. Let's pick up with Barack Obama first. Your thoughts on his leadership style?
Barack Obama, like McCain, is a bit of a hologram. You can, from one perspective, look at his voting record in the Senate, which was the most liberal or one of the most liberals, according to various assessments, whether it's the National Journal or the Americans for Democratic Action. But on the other hand, I think that if we try to explain his sudden rise, his amazing leap to the top, it comes from that amazing speech he gave in 2004 to the Democratic National Convention, which was a kind of lyrical centrism. It comes from his autobiography and discussion in his second book, Audacity of Hope, where he talks about some conservative ideas, having faith in faith, believing that there are problems with American culture, but also bringing in the progressive liberal commitment to using government as a force for good. So I think in many ways his fundamental ideology is centrist, and right now I think there's a struggle for the soul of Barack Obama. There are the liberal blogosphere, there are strong forces in the Democratic Party who are trying to stop him from being, I think, who he truly is, which is a centrist leader, and I think that will be very harmful both to his candidacy and to the country if he plays the role of the partisan rather than the role of the healer and leader that we need.
Now, Senator John McCain is known politically as a moderate, certainly not a leader of the fringe Christian right, but he got the nomination, and he seems, at this point, now that we're in the campaign for the general election, he seems to be having to need to move in both directions at the same time, right and left.
Yes, there was one article about McCain which talked about McCain's Macarena, where he slides to the right and then he slides to the left, and, you know, he doesn't have a solid base with the right-wing Republicans, precisely because I think the reason why he was nominated was because he was the most famous Republican deviant, the one who was most famous for sort of tweaking George W. Bush and the mainstream Republicans. And so his centrism was not a lyrical centrism like Obama's, but more a maverick, iconoclastic centrism. And also, frankly, he's been a very effective legislative bridge builder in the Senate, especially with the Gang of 14, which broke the judicial logjam over appointments. So here we also see someone who is playing to both sides. The challenge, and I think it's a challenge to the citizenry, it's a challenge to reporters, it's a challenge to us all, is how do we push for the center? We know very well the dynamics whereby the mockery of the press and the anger of the left or the right pulls candidates to one side or the other. But right now, as people are pushing and pulling Barack Obama and John McCain to the, I think, the wrong ends of the spectrum, can we figure out citizens who spend 8 years complaining that we don't have moderate leadership, that we don't have a centrist president, that we don't have someone who's nimble, can we start pushing for someone to play to the center? And I'm hoping that we can lead a kind of constructive crusade that focuses on emphasizing this push to the center. I've thought of something called the moderometer, where I think if we could chart what candidates do and candidates say and give them props, give them positive reinforcement when, for example, John McCain is asked about the Guantanamo Bay decision and he says, let me read it first. And then the blogosphere goes crazy saying, how can he be so tepid in his response? When Barack Obama says, I might fly all the way to Iraq, and lo and behold, I might learn something there and I might tweak my position. That to me isn't about pandering or flip-flopping. That's about being a leader who's smart, who understands that sometimes facts on the ground change. And I don't think we give them enough positive reinforcement. So on my website, www.leadingfromthecenter.com, we're going to put up a moderometer to show when they're purple and achieving that perfect balance, and when they're a little bit too red and a little bit too blue.
Gil Troy is a professor of history at McGill University and a visiting scholar at the Bipartisan Policy Center. His new book is Leading from the Center: Why Moderates Make the Best Presidents. Gil, I've really enjoyed it. It is a fascinating book, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much, and you get the check from my mama for being so nice to me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.